The reading for today is taken from Colossians chapter 3, verse 22 to chapter 4, verse 1, which is on page 955 of the Church Bibles. Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything, and do it not only with when their eye is on you and to curry their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Anyone who does wrong will be repaid for their wrongs, and there is no favoritism. Masters, provide your slaves with what is right and fair, because you know that you also have a master in heaven. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Great. Thank you, Sadie. Do keep that passage open. We're going to refer to it a lot. So we're taking a break from Joshua and speaking in, into our workplaces from this passage about work. Let's pray together as we do that. And Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you that he is our Lord. And thank you for the work he's given us to do. And we pray that today would really speak to all of our hearts. Please take weak and fallible words. Would you speak your word into all of our hearts by your Spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen. Great. Well, yeah, Workplace Sunday. Most of us, well, all of us will spend our days doing things where we work. Now, what makes for happy, satisfying work? Well, according to the internet, it's your boss. You know? What is the secret to job satisfaction? Your boss. It's not your salary or your commute or your working hours. Apparently, they've surveyed a lot of people. It's the boss. Do you have someone who cares about you? Who you can trust? Who trusts you? Someone who is fair in what they do. That's apparently making such a big difference. I guess if you're a helper, yeah, what do helpers always give thanks for? You know, my employer, he's a good employer. Employers make such a difference. But even, you know, in our normal workplaces, the kind of boss you have, it makes such a difference. It can be terrible if you have someone who is unfair, just looks after his own interests, versus someone, yeah, who is genuine and real. Well, that is what we're going to talk about today. Of course, the Bible would agree, yeah, your boss matters. That is the secret to how you work, to what gives meaning to your work, all those things. Although, of course, it's not your human boss. It's a different boss, and that is what is at the heart of this passage. So we're going to look at this famous passage on work from Colossians. The thing is, of course, it's about slaves and masters, and maybe you think, well, I'm not a slave, this is something really different, and, you know, why does the Bible seem to accept slavery? Just to say, the slavery here is not the kind of slavery that you're thinking of with people being kidnapped from Africa and sent to the US and those kind of things. That's not this. This is much closer to our normal employers and employees. They just didn't have companies and stuff back then. So I'm going to just preach it as if it's about employers and employees. And if you have questions about slavery, end of March, we are doing a few weeks on kind of hot topics or difficult things with the Bible. Come back for that. But what does this passage tell us? What is the big truth we need to get hold of? Well, Jesus is your true boss. This passage says Jesus is your true boss. Not in a fulfillment sense, no, in a real sense. Jesus is the one you work for. Why is that the case? Well, you see it, end of verse 24. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Who are you working for? You are working for Jesus. He's the Lord, and as you can hear, that's in every verse, right? Verse, end of verse 22, with reverence for the Lord. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord. You'll receive an inheritance from the Lord. Even about masters, you will have a master. You have a master in heaven. A master is the same word, Lord. You have a Lord in heaven. All of this is, you know, about the Lord Jesus. And so, work for him. Now, how is Jesus our boss? What does it mean? He's the Lord? I mean, partly, if you're a Christian, I hope, you know, Jesus is your Lord. You've come to him, right? You've come to him. You're my king, you're my lord. But of course, in Colossians, it's much bigger than that. You know, the Colossians, they were tempted by some false teaching. You know, you need more than Jesus. And Paul says, you don't need more than Jesus. Let me tell you who Jesus really is. And so, you know, Jesus, he's the image of the invisible God. He's the supreme ruler of all creation. You know, he made everything. He rules everything. He holds everything in place. He, you know, he's the king of everything. Everything exists for him. You know, Jesus is the Lord, capital T, capital L, kind of, you know, the boss. You take the whole universe and the top of the organization chart, it's Jesus. He's got 100% shares because he made everything, you know, and no board of trustees. Jesus is the Lord. But that works out practically. Because what does Paul say? Well, you're accountable to him. Huh? I mean, what makes someone your boss? What makes someone, okay, this is my boss, I work for this person. I guess they tell you what to do, but they also hold you accountable. If you don't do what they say, then you get a warning. And if you do what they say, then, you know, well done. Right? The accountability, that makes someone your boss. But Paul says, well, look, the one who will do that for you ultimately is Jesus. Verse 23, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters. Why? Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. The Lord, Jesus, he will reward you for what you do. That's why you should work for the Lord, because he will reward you. And if you do wrong, verse 25, anyone who does wrong will be repaid for their wrongs. And there's no favoritism. You're accountable to Jesus. It says, you know, we're all going to stand before Jesus, before his throne. Verse from 2 Corinthians, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each of us may receive what is due us for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. Each of us will appear before Jesus, and that includes Christians. Now, I mean, I'm not talking here about being saved, right? Because other passages say, well, Christians won't enter into judgment. And that's true. If you're a Christian, Jesus has died for you. He's paid for all the wrongs you've done. You can be with God. That's a wonderful truth. And if you're here as a visitor, actually, that's more important than how you do your work. We need Jesus. Come and ask me more. But at the same time, even though, you know, we're accepted and forgiven, we will still give an account to Jesus. I mean, Jesus tells those parables, doesn't he? He talks about, you know, there's this king, and he goes away, he gives all of his servants a bag of gold. Go and go and make money. And when he comes back, you know, here, Lord, your money has made 5 bags more. Well done, good and faithful servant. You can be over 5 cities. And, your bag, I've made 2 bags more. Well done, you'll be over 2 cities. You know, what does that say? That says that, you know, for all eternity, you will have a reward, but that depends on how you've lived, right? There is a difference. I mean, it's going to be great for everyone. If you trust in Jesus, it's going to be great. And yet, there is a degree of reward based on how we've lived. We're accountable. That is the wonderful truth that it says here. And that's for everyone. Each of us will give an account to Jesus. Maybe, you know, you work somewhere, you have a boss. Well, he is your true boss. But maybe you're self-employed, you know? You don't have a boss, you're your own boss. No. You work for Jesus. You will give an account to him. You are an employer yourself. Employers will stand before Jesus, right? 4 verse 1. Masters, provide your slaves with what is right and fair, because you know that you also have a Lord in heaven. You should, you know, it's not that you're different. You will both stand, you're both slaves of Jesus. You stand before him. For everything, you know, everything good you do will be rewarded. Every little detail. So yeah, that's why Jesus is our true boss. And just to say, he is a wonderful, great boss. Yeah? I mean, maybe you think, well, I need to give an account for everything I've done. You don't wish your boss to see every email you wrote and every minute of how you spent your time. But you can trust Jesus, right? Because he died for you. You know how much he loves you. You know how kind he is and how generous and how, he has no self-interest and no hidden agendas. And he knows your heart. He knows that you did your best, but due to circumstances, things went wrong. And your boss won't know that and he'll tell you off. But Jesus knows, right? Jesus is in control. Jesus has put you there. You can trust him. Jesus is the best boss we could wish for. Someone who is fair. And, masters, we do what is right and fair. Well, no one is as right and fair as Jesus. And so you work for the most wonderful boss, and you can be accountable to him. And that is for each of us. But what does that mean? We're all accountable to Jesus. Yeah, what does it mean that he is our true boss? Yes, we have it's like an organization chart. Yes, we have a boss above us, but there's always someone higher, and he's the real boss. Well, first, I think this means your work really matters. Whatever you do, whatever job you have, your work matters. It has meaning, significance. Because we all want to have a job that has meaning, right? You don't stay in bed, you go to work because it makes a difference. And how you work makes a difference. Now, of course, for most of us, what is the difference it makes? Well, I earn money so I can live. Actually, that's a big thing in the Bible. A big reason to work is that you can provide for your family. That's a good thing. But even then, why should you do your best? Why not do the minimum to get paid and you're fine? Why, as it says here, verse 22, obey your earthly masters in everything. Do it not only when their eye is on you and to curry their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. I mean, if your boss doesn't notice, why work hard, right? It doesn't make a difference. Well, because you're accountable to Jesus. It matters whether you do a good job and try your best and go the extra mile versus you're lazy and skiving and just waste your time on Facebook. Even if your boss doesn't care, Jesus cares. Which means that everything you do, whatever you do, it has meaning. Because doing a good job or doing a bad job will make a difference forever. Right? Jesus, on that day, you came out of bed and you went to work and you did a good job, and Jesus on the last day will say, well done, good and faithful servant. The fact that you've done your best matters. It makes a difference. Of course, we can trust Jesus that he's put you in that place for a reason. He knows what he's doing, even if you don't know it. Some of us, we can see the good we do. We can, you're a doctor, you make people better. You're a teacher, you help kids grow up. Of course, some of us can see the good thing. Others of us, why am I here filling in forms or spreadsheets? We don't see the point of our job. You can trust Jesus with the point, but even if it's just filling in forms, you will get a reward for the good you do. And so it has meaning. It makes a difference for all eternity. A million years from now, that good job will have had an effect. And I hope you can see that that's wonderful. You have meaning in your job. Your work matters. Every little bit. Even if no one notices, Jesus notices and Jesus rewards. And accountability is a good thing because it creates meaning and significance. Your job is not meaningless. It's not that you only work for Jesus and make a difference when you tell the gospel. Of course, you make a huge difference if you tell the gospel, but even your normal filling in forms, your normal cleaning, all the normal stuff, you are working for Jesus, and it makes a difference. You honor him, you please him, and he rewards you. It matters. That's a wonderful truth. And again, Jesus is the best boss. He is just and fair, right? It says here, you know, masters, do what is right and fair. You know, Jesus will do it perfectly. Maybe you work very hard and your boss just doesn't notice us. And here's this colleague of yours and he's lazy and he gossips, but he knows how to butter up. And the boss thinks he's great and he gets the bonus and he gets the promotion and you don't. And yeah, why would you work hard in that case? Well, Jesus will sort it out on the last day. You will get the reward and anything done wrong will be addressed. It matters how you work, and that's a wonderful thing. Okay? I hope that's clear. That's the background. Okay, so now what does that look like? Okay, what do I do if I work for the Lord? Well, a few things. First of all, I guess as we see, work at it with all your heart. Verse 22. Not only when their eye is on you and to curry their favor, but with sincerity of heart. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart. You want to do your best. You do the best of your ability. You go the extra mile. You do your work. You are a good employee. Even though you work for a different boss, you are the best employee you can be. Because you are working for Jesus. And it matters. He's your true boss. I mean, what does that look like? I guess for some of us, we're so busy that, you have to just run to keep up. But for some people, you know, there's a temptation to be lazy, temptation to waste your time, do shoddy work, because, you know, it doesn't really matter. Well, if Jesus is your boss, then you wouldn't do that. You try to do the right thing. You're not wasting your time. You work with all your heart. Of course, I'm not saying that, you know, you need to do it perfectly. We can't do it perfectly. Good enough is good enough. I'm not saying never talk to people. You shouldn't waste a single minute of your time. It's good to talk to people. It's good to have good relationships with your colleagues. And, you know, it makes for a much better work environment. It's okay to take a personal phone call. It's okay to talk to your colleagues. You know when you're wasting time and when you're just being normal, right? But don't waste your time. Don't take advantage. Work with all your heart. Second, I guess what it means, you want to do what is right. Do what is right because you work, well, with reverence for the Lord. You're fearing the Lord. You work for Jesus, and so you work to his standards with the masters. So provide your slaves with what is right and fair. You're not wholeheartedly abusing people. You do what is right and fair. How does Jesus want you to work? Well, what is Jesus like? He is loving. He is caring. He is just. He is fair. He is generous. And so that is what we should be like. Right? That is what it means. With integrity, with sacrifice, with love, doing what is good for people. Those kind of things. Right? That is, I guess that is what is right, and that is where you'll be rewarded. You do what is right, and so you don't do what is wrong. If there are things that, well, this is wrong, I shouldn't do that. Now, of course, that means certain jobs are out of the question, right? You can't be a wholehearted gangster and a wholehearted drug dealer. We know that. But, you know, something like a lawyer is neutral. But you can be, you know, a lawyer who has integrity and cares about the truth and, you know, works that way. Or you can have someone who lies and cheats and bullies. And we should be the first. You can work in finance and you make rich people richer. That's okay. If you do it by exploiting the poor, it's not right. Those kind of things. You want to do what is right. Of course, it's not always easy. Sometimes it's gray areas. And you need to think and pray. What is the right thing to do here? How can I serve the Lord? What would he want me to do? I remember, I was converted at age 25. I was a management consultant back then. So companies would hire us and we would come and we would crunch the numbers and give advice and this is the direction you need to go in, that kind of stuff. This is what you should do. Now, that's a good thing to do and I enjoyed it. However, I struggled after becoming a Christian with the way we sold things. Because, you know, we're the experts and we know the market and we can tell you exactly what to do. Well, we were good at number crunching, and we have some experience, but we don't fully understand the market. You know, this figure, yeah, it looks good, but it's, you know, I've taken one guess and another, and I've averaged it, you know? It's just, you know, sometimes I had to be honest and humble and say, well, we don't really know, but this is our best guess, and we can guess really well, usually. But that is, yeah, that's not really how you sell things. So I found it difficult suddenly, the way of I had to give advice. Yeah, for you, it might be different. I know some churches, Tim Keller, he thinks the way your workplace is really important. He gets the lawyers together. Why don't you talk about being a good lawyer? Gets the finance people together. How can we be godly in finance? Great thing to do. If you know other people in the same profession, yeah, talk about, you know, how can I do what's right? How can I avoid wrong? What do you think about this problem? Would be great if we could help each other. Honor the Lord in our work. Being a manager, how can you be compassionate, forgiving, while also just? It's a hard thing to do. Yeah? That's great. We can learn from each other. Thirdly, yeah, as we heard in the interview as well, I guess Jesus is number one. And because sometimes you want to do what's right and your boss wants to do what's wrong. What do you do? Well, this passage would say Jesus is number one, right? You need to follow your true boss. And therefore say no, work for the Lord, not for human masters. The only thing is, of course, that brings conflict. You may not be popular. It might have consequences for, you know, your bonus, your popularity, your promotion. You might even get fired, right? Because, well, we don't want you here if you don't work the way we want you to work. And that can be very tricky to negotiate. I guess you want to be careful, you want to be respectful, you want to be loving to your boss, you want to talk it through, don't just say no and make a fuss. You want to do it right, with wisdom and grace. But ultimately, you will need to say no. And just to remember, you don't be afraid of the consequences, because Jesus is your true boss. Yes, your boss may fire you, ultimately, right? That's so those kind of things, true. But Jesus is in control. And on the last day, you know, well done, good and faithful servants. He has the last words. And you will not miss out anything in the long term, right? So, yeah, it's hard, but that requires faith. Don't be afraid, ultimately, of the consequences. It's more important to work for your true boss. You're accountable to him. He's got the last word, the inheritance. That's what matters more. Another area this applies, I guess, responsibilities. Because, you know, we are not just workers. Jesus, we work for him, but he has given us quite a wide-ranging job description. It includes our work, but, you know, you read in Colossians, it talks about wives and husbands, children, fathers. Our marriage and family, if we have them, they are important as well. And Jesus wants to be able to say, well done, good and faithful parent. Earlier than that, it talks about, you know, teaching and admonishing one another with the word of Christ. It talks about being devoted in prayer. Again, Jesus would love to say, well done, good and faithful prayer warrior. And so we should ideally do all these things. And of course, that's a struggle. Hong Kong has such long working hours, and your boss wants you to just work and work and work. And it can be very hard to manage that. Again, all the stuff about being respectful and trying to talk it through and finding the right way to manage your time. Again, you can't do it perfectly, but we shouldn't neglect our responsibilities. See if you can be creative. And you want to go to a small group, but you work long evenings. Well, we have small groups on Friday night, on Saturday, on Sunday. So that's actually, you can come and you can combine it with a busy job. Maybe you can come home earlier, but work more at home after the kids are in bed, or those kind of things, right? Try and be creative. I had an investment banker in my small group in London, and he would come, you know, 8 o'clock to our small group. And then 10 o'clock, we go home, he go back to the office for 2 hours more work. Amazing. But, you know, he He was a busy investment banker, and he was committed to our small group. He tried to combine both, and that meant juggling his time. You know, if you show I'm a good employee, I do my best, I still do all my work, even though I do it in a different time, hopefully your boss will respect that. But yeah, try and manage those things. But those four things, I think that's what it looks like to work for the Lord. Again, you need to work that out in your situation, with your boss and with your company and your responsibilities. It's where hopefully we can help each other. What does it look like for us to work for the Lord? But I hope you get the message, right? Jesus is our true boss and our work matters. Let's work for him. The big thing we just need to keep in mind is have this vision of Jesus. Remember, yeah, him. Remember his grace. Remember how he is our true boss and we belong to him. And that's not easy because we're so busy with the people here that we forget to lift up our eyes to heaven. So, yeah, that's why we need our relationship with God. That's why we need to keep growing. That's why we have communion in a moment. It's a great day to have communion. You know, what do you say when you come forward to get the bread and wine? You're saying, yes, Jesus, you are my Lord. I belong to you. Let that strengthen you. As you remember, he's a good boss. He died for you. He loves you. You know, this is the cross that you're thinking about. And that means also, yeah, he's forgiven you. Whatever you've done wrong, if you feel I haven't worked for the Lord as I should, Jesus loves you and he's died for everything. You're accepted, forgiven, and you can live for him, with him as your true boss who will reward you. And that's wonderful. So yeah, let's pray and then sing that we would have this great vision. Let's pray. Our Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you that your perfect, loving, glorious Son is our true boss. Thank you that we work for him and he will give us the inheritance as a reward. Father, pray that we would have that vision, that in the busyness of our workplaces, the busyness of life in Hong Kong, we would remember him, remember our true boss, and work for him in doing what is right, and working with our whole hearts, in putting him first, and remember his love when that costs us. Help us to be wise, help us to talk together and try to do this better, to honor you, that we would please Jesus, that we would work for him, and that others may see something of him through us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Great. Well, the music team comes up. Let's sing this great song, This Life I Live Is Not My Own. And just to say, this is our time of offering. So if you have, if you're part of the church family, this is where we support the ministry here. If you're a visitor, please just let the bag pass along. We'd love you to be blessed and receive rather than give.